The Vantage Point is a Christian talk show that discusses everyday issues that women deal with.
Friends and family.
Education. Politics.
It's real talk.
Things that make us laugh.
Real talk.
Brings a lot of different things to the table.
It's a different kind of talk for women.
Topics that I like to hear.
From people who are similar to me. I want to hear their ideas.
With Dr. Jessica, Crystal, Tokoya, and Jennifer.
Everybody coming together.
It just makes my day.
On the All Indiana Podcast Network. This is the Vantage Point Podcast.
We got this thing turned up.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the Vantage Point, wherever you're listening at, all over the world. We greet you, we salute you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. Jessica Mosley, and I'm here alongside some amazing women, Tokoya Porter.
Hey.
Crystal Dunn.
Hey, everybody.
And Jennifer Rogers.
Hi, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed our show last week. I know we were rambling off quite a bit, but this show, we are a little bit more structured. And we have a very, very special guest. I am going to talk a little bit about the man of God who we've invited here today, Pastor Timothy Harris of the Turning Point Family Worship Center. And there's so much to be said about him. God has graced him and is gracing him to operate in so many roles, from husband, father, granddad, affectionately known as Tada, businessman extraordinaire, pastor, mentor, but above all, servant. Your ministry, Turning Point, impacts the world, different backgrounds, ethnicities. You do business domestically and across the waters, the world. Some would say that you're a pretty busy man, and with all that God has given your hands to do and is allowing you to do, we can find you several times a week at church, either teaching new members class, Bible class, or preaching the word of God to your congregation on Sunday morning. Myself, along with the women of the Vantage Point, are extremely humbled that you accepted our invitation to be here with us on today on our podcast that will be heard globally on all major podcasting streams around the world. I brought you here today, we invited you here today to discuss what to do when you have been offended, when you have been betrayed. Can we welcome our pastor, our friend, our mentor, Pastor Tim Harris?
Welcome, Pastor Daddy.
Well, as you can see, that was Tokoya giving a shout out to her dad, because it is her dad as well. But we're so humbled that you are here. And well, first of all, can you just introduce, did I lie about anything that I said?
No, everything you said, I think, was right on.
Thank you so much. I'm honored that you're here. And this subject has been on my heart quite a bit lately, especially with everything that's going on in our world. We see so much division. Who's right, who's wrong? I'm not even just talking about COVID, but it's just like COVID is just, I feel, exposing what's been going on behind this. It's like the covers are off now, but everybody is offended. Before we jump into the conversation, I want to read what the world says offense is, okay, and then we'll get into the biblical part of it. The definition that stood out to me was annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult to or disregard for oneself or one's standards or principle. But I want to talk about what Jesus said about offense. And I don't want to talk too much, so
no,
I'm going
to
let you
go ahead. And then,
I'll let you go ahead.
Yeah, I got time.
Thank you. So Jesus said that offenses will come. Mm-hmm. Why do you, I'm going to ask a question. Why do you think everybody is in such an uproar these days?
Again, I think that, I know that what we're in primarily are spiritual fights. And what happens in a fight, in a boxing match, what happens when I was in a karate tournament, is that you try to find out where your opponent's weakness is. And once you find that, that's where you're going to hit them. Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to exploit. And that's what's going on nowadays, is that we're starting to see where the person's weaknesses are, where they can get knocked out. And so, again, what I'm seeing, and you mentioned it, you hit it on the head, there's a lot of division. And the devil has was instrumental in bringing it about. But that's how he rolls. I mean, that's how he rolled in the garden. You know, turn man against God, turn man and woman, husband and wife against each other.
Mm-hmm.
He accused, you know, her, you know, the woman you gave me. This is nothing new. The fight is nothing new.
The scripture says, "And many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Because evil shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold."
Mm-hmm.
We are, Matthew 24 talks about that. And I, you know, before I really dive into the scriptures, I want to talk about you personally,
mm-hmm.
how you have dealt with offense.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, have you ever been offended?
For sure I have. I'm 65. You know, and in the church and out of the church. Most of my life was growing up in the church. And you want me to give you an example?
I do.
I didn't write them down, but I'll give you an example that comes right off the top of my head. You know, I was living right, growing up in small town Ohio. And happened to be, at this point in time I'm talking about now, I was about 15, 16 years old. Never slept around, didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't cuss, didn't fornicate. And I was the only one in our church, probably under 30 years old. Church service every day, opening up the church, played the piano. And I remember when the mothers got up, supposedly testifying,
mm-hmm.
and she said, "God's not coming after nobody who has an afro." Well, she was talking about one person in the church. You know, that hurt when things like that happen. Another instance where a woman that called herself a bishop was preaching, came over with her handkerchief and hit me on the head with her handkerchief and said, you know, "Nobody's saved if they've got an afro," mm-hmm. right? And the people in the city knew I was saved. But again, things like that can be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that some people call it church hurt, and they literally backslide over that. They quit going to church. They give up on God because one of his people offended them. And I think that goes a little bit more into the definition of offense, because when you're talking about offense, you're talking about somebody being caused to trip, to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it very closely approximates trespassing against somebody. Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this. It was a Bible class. I think it had to be before I had was transferred back up north. But I remember you saying something that stuck with me for many, many years, even to this day. You were talking about how some of you, this is my perception of
mm-hmm.
what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying that some of you are, your biggest problem is that too many people have pieces of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Not a piece, P-E-A-C-E,
right.
But a P-I-E-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do want to, because offense, betrayal, that's all synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, synonymous with each other. Because I think sometimes we try to shout over it,
mm-hmm.
act like it didn't happen. How do you deal with offense? I mean, like, some people might say, "Oh, he's just talking about an afro. That don't mean anything."
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about where something has truly torn and traumatized your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Where someone had told me one day I had to go get therapy because of how I was wounded in church.
Right.
So how do you, what is your advice to that?
Okay, so one of the things that has to happen in life, period,
mm-hmm.
Is that you have to remain focused on what your purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose track of your focus, then you're going to be a failure and a quitter in life. I cite my favorite person in the whole world, in the whole galaxy, in the whole universe, in the whole Milky Way, and that's Jesus Christ. He came and he was despised and rejected of men. A man, he was acquainted with grief and sorrow. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. You know, he was despised. We esteemed him not. The Bible goes on and talks about, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Just think about if when Jesus came, he said, I got church hurt. Okay. If he had church hurt, then he would have never built the church upon that rock himself. Mm-hmm. If he got church hurt, man, he got hurt, he got wounded, he got killed. But the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. What do you have to do? You have to stay focused, even when folks offend you, that I have purpose in being here. You can never lose track of why am I here.
I love that. Ladies, do you want to jump in? Do you have a question? Because I can keep going with this subject, because I've dealt with it and I'm dealing with it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Offense, betrayal.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing you said one time in Bible, you say so much in Bible classes. I love that, because you just never know where. I know that, like Bethany was saying, how God stopped the service to tell her exactly what to do. It's like I just feel like every time I come to church, God stops the service to tell me exactly what to do. But you were talking about how that there should only be a certain amount of people, like your inner circle. You know, everyone shouldn't have access to your heart. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit, because I think that when you, I mean, I'm a very trusting person. My mother calls me naive, but I'm a very trusting person. But when you said that, I was like, well, God, how do I guard my heart without being too cautious of everybody? Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can. Again, the heart is deceitful. Mm-hmm. It's wicked. Who can know it? Our hearts can even deceive ourselves. So again, I'm going to go back kind of to what I was just talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that made David so great in recovery, and that is that he was able to pick himself up off the mat. The reason why when this righteous man fell, he was able to get back up is because he had a heart after God. Mm-hmm. His heart was about, how do I please God? Mm-hmm. I love God. I love the purpose. I love the work that God has given me to do. And so what we have to do in life is make certain that we guard our heart against the things that would come against God and the purpose for God. You know, I often tell you about, and I never called her last name, but you know, when I was in college, here I am away from home, Wilberforce University, a girl sitting next to me in class, in my engineering class. At that time, I just say it like that, she's the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen in my life, right? And I'm taking notes, and she said, are you understanding this? I don't get it. And I was like, whoa, my gosh. And I said, yeah, I understand it. She said, can I come to your room tonight and study? And I said, no, you can't come to my room. You'll come to my room and study. Okay.
Oh, I'm fine.
So there I was protecting my heart against, you know, something that I knew wouldn't be right. a lot of times we allow ourselves to get so engulfed in what people think, what people want, they're leading, that again, we fail to protect our heart against the things that are contrary to God's will in our life. And so we expose ourselves. That's how people get hooked on drugs and things like that, is that they allowed their heart, their mind, their spirit to go after something they should not have.
Anybody got something to say? Go ahead, Crystal.
I think a question I would ask along this topic is, how do you deal with the, so you've had the offense and maybe you've moved on from the offense, but there's certain things that trigger the memory of the offense. You know, how would you, how do you fight that, or how do you combat that?
Mm-hmm. One of the things about forgiveness is I really believe that you have to put a person back in a particular place. That does not mean that you're naive. That does not mean that you're ignorant concerning the devil's devices. Mm-hmm. But what Jesus said in Luke 17 is so applicable to what we're talking about. Because, you know, they ask, hey, you know, basically he talks about this sycamore tree,
mm-hmm.
Right? Matthew 17, he talked about casting out a demon. And he talked about you could speak to the mountain and it'd be removed. But when it came to somebody offending you, mm-hmm. in Luke 17, he referred to that as a sycamore tree. The sycamore tree has roots that grow 30 feet to 100 feet deep. And he said in that instance, you speak to the sycamore tree that's in you, that unforgiveness, and you command it to be plucked up by the roots, and not only that, be planted in the sea. And he goes on and he says to Peter, you know, I'm going to point out Peter. He says, if somebody offends you seven times in a day, and seven times they turn and say, I repent, he says, you forgive them. He didn't even say seven times they do repent. Because we would sit here and logically say, if you did it twice, you know, get me once, get me twice, you know, we got our sayings, right? But if you do it three times, mm-hmm. four times, five times, our spiritual logic and misinterpretation of the word would say that proves they didn't repent.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jesus was saying was, don't be the judge of whether or not they repented. Mm-hmm. But it's your job that if they say they repent, there's a particular place that you restore them into. And and you know, Crystal, you know, I would say that, you know, there's been folks who have been repeat offenders in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the assignment. David has Shemia in his life. I have one that will continue to do that probably as long as they live. That's their assignment, and it's a blessing to me when I think about it, because it helps do like it did with Paul. It helps keep you humble, helps keep you praying, helps keep you hearing from God and praying for folks that get healed of cancer. And like we said just yesterday, the miracle that God had done, you know, with one of the hearts. And every day I get texts of somebody that God is healing. Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, Pastor, because I love what you've been saying so far. And for those who are listening, I go to a Bible church. We are taught the scriptures. We are taught the word of God. We are not lacking or hungering from the word. And so the thing that I'm struggling with,
mm-hmm.
I'm struggling mm-hmm. with this. Because I've been offended / betrayed, and I do what I know to do, read my Bible, fast, pray, asking God, take it from me, doing what you said the scripture says to do, to tell it to be plucked up, cast into the sea. And it's just like, it's that pain is still mm-hmm. there. So how do I get healed?
Okay.
Because I know if there's a healing that has to take place. Mm-hmm. When you said Tuesday, I was talking about it yesterday because we were taping on the TV station. When you said if you are in need of healing,
yep.
Hands was lifted up because I knew that that was another moment that God was stopping the service to do what I've been asking or somebody was asking for healing. I know that you hear from God. So what do you do to be healed?
Okay, so again, we've already talked about what the scripture said about speaking to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have to sometimes add to that another statement that Jesus made when he said, only the merciful shall obtain mercy. And so sometimes when we're offended, we're looking at ourselves and we're putting ourselves in a particular place. Some of the times, the greatest issue with what has been done or said to us does not have to do with humility that we feel so bad about what was done. A lot of times it has to do with our pride. Okay, that I don't want somebody knowing this about me, or I don't want somebody thinking about me like this. And as opposed to, again, what David said about Shimeah, when one of his mighty men said, let me go over there and cut this dude's head off. You know, they're from the Middle East. They believe in decapitation, right? Let me go take his head off. Mm-hmm. And David said, no, if the Lord allows it, mm-hmm. if the Lord is allowing him to do this,
yeah.
then we got to trust God that he's making it work together for our good. And again, there's nothing that God will allow in my life that he does not take that and make it work together for good. So a lot of times what I have to do or what I have done in life is just step back and say, you know what, God, that's in your hands. I'm going to focus on my assignment. If we're talking about offense,
yes.
if we're talking about something somebody did to us, if it's a lie they told, Mom used to say, Mary Harris used to say, that a lie will make it around the world while the truth is still tying on his shoes. Okay? and that's really true. Mm-hmm. So if it's a lie, and she went on to explain, that's why you don't chase a lie.
Yep.
Because it'll run faster than what you can run, right? But if it's the truth that they said, that they told about you, and they went under the blood, they mm-hmm. went into your past. I've watched God handle it several ways. Watched here in this city when an organization had a convention, and the assistant presider wanted to call a meeting, right? Because they had a tape. They was going to bring down the bishop. But the problem was, what had really happened, it was like 15, 20 years before, right?
Oh, wow.
But now they wanted to get him.
Oh, wow.
They wanted to get him, right? And so here we are, and I'm at work, and I get a call, said so-and-so, before that, one of them that had the tape dropped over dead.
Right? I remember you telling us
so they
that.
Couldn't have the meeting. They couldn't have the meeting. And so they decide we're going to have a meeting next week. And the board of bishops going to have a meeting about him. And the second in position, he dropped over dead there. Different state. And then another one dropped over dead, they said, and they came on the radio, came back, said he's not dead, but he's on his way to the hospital. He handed the tape to, you know, one of his armor bearers, said, go on and take this tape. And he told me, he pulled it out of his drawer, and he said, this tape right here. I said, man, get that out of my face. He was driving along and began to bleed out of his rectum. He said it was like somebody poured a whole liter of pop. Okay. And he said he looked down, it was nothing but blood. He said, man, I never had a problem with my bowels until this tape. Had that happen in my life where two folks real close dropped over dead, and I had already got the phone call, hey, this one said this, and I prayed, and boom, they was dead. And then this one said this, prayed, and literally they dropped over dead. I stopped praying when Mother Boyd said pray, because folks was dropping over dead. You know, I'm telling you, God will defend you. And if it's true, as long as you're serving God and God is pleased with what you're doing, that's where your focus has to stay. What scripture do I have? 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 and verse 21. And he talks about there, again, that he said, if our heart offend us, he said, God is greater than our heart, okay? He says, if our heart offend us not, then have we confidence towards God. And so if I'm still condemned because of what I did in my past, then God's greater than that. If I'm over it, because I know God's forgiven me, now I've got confidence towards God. My trust is in God. If it's a lie they told, don't chase the lie. If it's truth they told and it's under the blood, if God let it go, you let it go. Look at the work you're doing. That's what I would say. You're on an assignment. That was Shaquille O'Neal's problem in shooting foul shots. You know, during practice, they said Magic was working with him. He could shoot him good. He'd get in the game. Same court, same distance, same basketball, same rim. But he kept missing the foul shots even in the games after Magic worked with him. And that's because of distraction. It's just a distraction. And that's what you got to understand.
I wish I had my prayer journal, because that's exactly the word that I wrote down today. Yeah. It's just a distraction. Does anyone have a question for Pastor Harris? Are you enjoying this, lady? Are you enjoying this conversation?
Yes.
Because I think that's why I like to hear the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we read the word, but when you hear the word, it brings on a certain healing, you know, to the mind and to the spirit. Because I love these type of conversations, because I'm just like, God, I'm better than this.
Yep.
I'm like, this is distracting me. And the word focus came to my spirit today too. Just stay focused. I wrote down in my prayer journal, Lord, help me to stay focused and not to dwell on this pain, this hurt that I am experiencing. Can you give us some more ways that we can let go of offense? And it's now, let me just say this, because you know, most people that's not close to you can't hurt you, can't betray you. So I'm talking about when you've been offended, because I mean, if you go to a church together, because I mean, we go to church all the time. So people that we congregate with have the potential to hurt us, because we're together quite a bit. And then, but what do you do when it's someone that's close to you? That, I mean, because you can't divorce your daughter or your son. I mean, some in America.
Oh, I'd never divorce that. Look at that right there.
No, but you know what
I'm saying. Who in their right mind would divorce a daughter like that? That's my girl.
Look at Sequoia. But you know what I'm saying, though. It's like, look, your daddy loves you, girl. You up and like, girl, I would be doing anything to talk to my dad. Seriously. But what do you do when it's someone that's close to you? It's not someone that you could, you got to see this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think one time you were sharing, you've shared quite a bit of your stories with our mother, Mother Harris. I love you. Shout out to you. You know, but I'm saying, what are you doing to someone that's close to you that has wounded you?
That's what the Bible talks about. Wounded in the house of my friends. David, again, he talks about, you know, somebody close to him that went to the house of God with him. They walked together.
Yes.
To the house of God. And those are the ones that it does usually hurt. If I'm stopped at a traffic light and somebody pulls up beside me and says, you ugly, you a liar. And I don't even know who they are. I just rolled my window up like, yeah, right. You know, there was a time I would have said something back, but now I've grown because I don't know you, okay? I don't know who you are. Your word is not important to me.
Don't carry weight.
Right? Yeah. When Toe has a problem with me, then that's a problem for mm-hmm. me. Okay, then I try to get it together. Mm-hmm. I try to get us together. Mm-hmm. So I suck up, you know what I mean? And even going flying, she's the only person that makes me fly somewhere, you know what I mean? Other than if I'm flying a plane myself. They're saying she can get me to do, nobody can get me to do, right? And I could go through each family member and cite that. But the family is what's close to you, whether it's your natural family, whether it's your church family. And so I'm not oblivious to the fact that things do hurt you when the ones closest to you say or do something against you. And you've already answered one part, that you can't just divorce them saying, you know, I'm going to wash my hands of them. They're in your life. They should be in your life. So sometimes what you have to do is take the focus back where Jesus said, Jessica, I'm going to say again, in Matthew 17, the man's son has a demon in him. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, these kind goeth forth, but by prayer and fasting. How do I get a demon out of that man's son over there? Prayer and fasting, and I cast that out of him. That's the mountain moving faith. Mm-hmm. But when somebody does something to me, and the closest ones get a better shot at you, okay? They hit the right spot, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're so close to you. Yes. Somebody's across the planet takes a shot, they're not gonna hit the right spot. Mm-hmm. Somebody close to you, they're real close, they hit the right spot. When that happens, he said that you speak to the sycamore tree that's in you. He didn't say that you speak to them in that case. I'm talking about the result of what happened is what I'm talking about now. The sycamore tree is in you. Mm-hmm. He didn't say they hate you. They have a sycamore tree in their heart, a root of bitterness against you, so you cast it out of them. He says, in that case, you speak to what's in you. You have to work on getting it out of you. And again, how do I do that? I do what he says, but I also remember, okay, who I am, how I am, why I am, and that there's a reason God allows this to happen. That's how I handle it. That's how I address it.
Well, I want to, Pastor, if you would be so kind to just we're going to say a prayer, then I want to move the subject a little bit about what you guys are doing, what Turning Point is doing in the city. Just some amazing things are going on and within the ministry that God has entrusted into you and Lady Harris's hands. Will you take the time to pray really quickly for those who are dealing with hurt and offense?
Pray for the ones who have hurts, okay?
Yes, who are dealing with hurt. Because, okay. I mean, there's some people, they're not going back to church.
And I'm hearing you say pray really quick.
Well, yeah, you're not. Quick prayer. However long you want to pray, none of my business. However the Spirit leads you. No.
I actually had a story I wanted to tell.
Well, tell the story before you pray. Tell the story before you pray.
I want to tell the story real quick.
Tell the story before you pray.
And then we'll pray.
We'll
tell the story quick, then we'll pray.
All right.
We'll touch the throne, and we don't have to spend an hour. But I've mentioned this at TP and number of times. A young man, he's not at our church now. He moved back out of state. He was here planned for just a time period. And somebody borrowed $50 from him. Okay. And so they didn't pay him back when they said. And he wanted his money. and finally got to the point where he got his gun and he was at their doorstep.
Over $50,
behind the bush.
Okay. Yeah.
Within his goal was when they put the key in there, he was going to kill them. He meant that thing. Okay. And when he came to church on that Sunday morning, I preached about forgiveness. And he told me what he had did that night before. He said, man, I came this close to killing him. And that him was at the church. All right. And I said, that's funny. I said, you borrowed $1,500 from me. That's like 6 months ago. You've never even mentioned it. You've never even mentioned it. I didn't kill you. Okay. So again, I'm back to how do we get over stuff when people do us wrong? We go back and remember that there's things we've done. There's things that God could get us for. And I said to him, I have mercy on you, so why don't you have mercy on him? Why don't, I'm going to forgive that $1,500 debt. Forgive his $50 debt. Yeah. Forgive them when they offend you. Yeah. Every head bowed. Father, we say thank you for this time.
Thank you.
We say thank you, God, for your word. And those that are under the sound of our voice, we pray that you intervene on their behalf. Father, help them as they speak to that root that is in their heart, that is in their spirit. Help them speak to it and pluck it up by the roots. You did it for me. And I pray, God, you do it for them even as they hear this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Forgiveness is so heavy that it keeps you from doing what God needs you to do, to keep you from rising. It's like a sinker in the ocean. Yeah. That's what he casted out, was that sycamore tree. That sycamore tree was unforgiveness. Unforgiveness holds you down. It sinks, and it holds you down if it's sinking in your heart.
Yes, that's. I think that's a blessing to a lot of people, because a lot of times we try to be even contingent upon the people's response to us, like, well, they haven't even changed, or they never even apologized, or they don't even understand what they put me through. And based on what you're saying, it's not about them anymore. It's about my heart and me now being, I don't know, in some ways we are the model for our own forgiveness. We have to give it, and we have to, that's the way we're gonna get it.
Yeah.
So. I think it's really good, necessary talk.
In life, it's easy to become the thing you hate.
Yes.
That is the norm, is you become the thing you hate. What you hated about your parents, you become.
Right.
What you hated about other individuals, you become. If they slapped you, you hate them for slapping you. And what it did is that then your response was slapping them. You became the thing you hate. The Germans, you know, would, during Hitler's day, would ravage villages, and their soldiers would rape the women. So then the opposing forces would say, all right, so when we take over one of your cities, we're going to rape your children and your women too. And the very thing that they was fighting about to bring Hitler down, they became. And that's the norm, unfortunately, is that you become the thing you hate if you don't deal with it the Bible way. But if you do the Bible thing the Bible way, you get the Bible results.
Such a needed conversation. I needed this conversation because the one thing that I always tell God, I said, I don't want to be a bitter woman. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be an unforgiving person, you know, and but that's what it is. It's unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. That's what that sycamore tree is. That's what made me cry,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm just like, Lord, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. But that's why I like having yourself and Sister Harris around so that we can I like to expose the devil,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what he's doing. I want to talk a little. How much more time we got for this segment?
Got about 5-7 minutes.
5 to 7 minutes. So, Pastor Harris, you guys are doing some amazing things here in the community. And you know what I love about Pastor Tim and Tanya Harris is that there's a lot of things that they do for people. I remember not too long ago, someone was, I think it was Sister Tanae, she was talking about how you went with her car shopping. And I was like, you know, I had a cousin that died, and at the funeral, everybody that got up, they literally thought that they were his favorite cousin. Mm-hmm. With you and Sister Harris, I said, dang, they do so much for so many people. People, I can see why people get jealous. Mm-hmm. Because they think that they're your favorite. Mm-hmm. But you're the same way with everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just, I mean, and it's, she didn't have to get up there and say that you've never got up, you know, in the congregation. You probably could tell a lot of things. Mm-hmm. That you've done for people. And where did you get that? I mean, I'm a giver, but I don't have nothing on y'all. Like, where did you get such an infectious spirit to give? I mean, just always want to give.
So, I watched Mom do that. Across the street from us, there was a house. Well, back in Chillicothe, they have a huge prison. Mm-hmm. Both sides of the road, huge prison. And I think there was like 200 people right now down there on death row. Okay. Oh. But when some would get released early, they would do their in-home the last 6 months across the street. Mm-hmm. I watched Mom Christmas, Thanksgiving, sometimes just on Sundays, fix extra food. So those 6, 7, 8 inmates who couldn't even come out of the yard had food. I growing up, you know, I mean, I advocated for the ones who didn't have. Mm-hmm. I used to get in fights in school. It was not ever because I was protecting me. It was somebody just knocked the kids. I remember this. He knocked the kids' books out of his hand. He's the big bully. Mm-hmm. And I said, why don't you do that to me? He's like, you're not anybody. Well, he didn't do it to anybody else afterwards, you know. And driving down Post Road, way before we started Turning Point there was dogs. They were killing a dog, a little dog. And I stopped the car in the middle of the street and went over, start fighting, kicking those dogs off the little dog. That's how God wired me. He wired me to do that because I don't look at me and think I'm something. And I don't look at anybody else and think that they're nothing. Mm-hmm. And so somebody that has a need, young man Eric, you know, he had been arrested 58 times by the time he was 18. He came to town and lived with us, you know. Toe went and got him a job, you know. So here we are. I mean, even that, they're rolling like we rode. Now, just, you know, some of the stuff that we did, they're doing. God has given me not just the love, and it is love out of love, but he's given me the love and the desire to help folks that, you know, want to help.
I would love to continue this discussion with Pastor Harris. And what we're going to do is we're going to have him come back next week to continue this conversation about offense. Not offense. We're going to talk about something else because the man of God is doing so much. And I just want to get his advice on a lot of things. What about you, ladies? You want to hear more from Pastor Harris?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
We want to hear more from him while we have him here with us. So, you know what? You've tuned in to The Vantage Point. We thank you. God bless you. It's so much come. I've got a little bit emotional. I always get emotional.
Yes.
That's okay. I do get emotional because I'm passionate about the things of God and his people. So thank you so much for tuning in to The Vantage Point. Let's say bye, ladies. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
From the All Indiana Podcast Network,
this is The Vantage Point Podcast. Be sure to like, share, follow, support, and tell everyone you know about this podcast.
Available at allindianapodcast.com.
And wherever you get your podcasts.